Blog Talk Radio.
Intrigue you. It's all right to travel and go on a journey with books.
and be cheerful, creative, and imaginative. Most of all, I love about reading is that you can be imaginative, creating from your own substance. Oh boy, wait till Omi starts telling you some of my own personal stories. Boy, do I take you on a journey. You'll be going up and down as if you're on a roller coaster ride, and you'll wonder just where is Omi taking you. But I'll bring you back in time so you can get on the bus. And remember, at a half past the hour, we're going to all line up to get on the bus. I don't want anyone to be left behind because we're going on that journey. Take the journey with me. You too can be a channel. So why don't you take that journey today? It's National Poetry Month. Teachers, if you're out there, we're still appreciating you. Why don't you call in and talk about your classroom, talk about your literary writing, and be a part of our session. We need you out there, teachers. We need each and every one of you. This classroom is open to you. We'd love to have you come and join us. We'd love to have you come in and even break bread and talk about your classroom's writing assignments, their poetry. We're going to be talking about some great things today here in this Care to Read room. We're going to be talking about Rick Rack Monkey. We're going to talk about that story and how you can look at the prefix of a word to decipher what the word means. That's right. You can dissect words by decoding them. Why don't you come on into the Care to Read room? Do you care to read? If not, always read all the time. You can sit and listen and sit back and enjoy yourself. I know you'll be glad you came on this journey because everyone who comes in this room, they're enriched by being a part of the Care to Read room. That's right. I am an original teacher. There's none duplicated. This is often replicated, but I am the original teacher. And you'll get me a full trust here in the classroom. This is where my roots stem. Oh, yes, I remember now. This is where my roots stem. I was once a teacher, and I'm still a teacher, because I was called to do something. You all have a calling. You ought to find your calling, and you ought to answer that calling. I'm answering my calling today by being an early literacy coach and intriguing those teachers to come in here, pick up their pen and paper, go out to my website. I've even created a curriculum, the Garth Approach. Try it out. See how you like it. Along with a literacy program that came from the RIF program. You can even try that out. I make my materials to you free. Why don't you come in and join us? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Care to Read Room, and I am carrying on because I'm so excited about the reading and what's happening for us in this reading room. I know many of you are viewing me. You're following me on Twitters. I am so grateful. I want to stop now and thank you personally from the bottom of my heart. I tried to write you back. I've left you notes, little love notes, saying thank you for following me. And for those of you out there who are shy, come on into the Care to Read room. Make yourself known and introduce yourself. Omi is a friendly person. I love people and kinfolk. You know we are all family here. And when you're in this room, you don't have to be shy. Bring your portrait. Bring your narratives and bring some of your personal work. I love to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening's segment is going to be a story written by Merle Hughes, and it's entitled Rack Rick Monkey, the Rick Rack Monkey. Let me recite that. And we're going to be looking at the lessons from a perspective of looking at the colonial education system. How is it different from America, and how does it relate to the British? Now, we know America and the British are completely different, and things are done differently. How do I know that? I've been a part of a system in Europe that was completely done different, and we're going to talk about that. Maybe you might even learn something, administrators. You might even want to go back and administer some new techniques and using some of the British technique or some of the European technique. We're going to be talking about how do you look at words at the prefix to decipher what the meaning is? And what words do you normally see like that? Greek words are written where you can break down the words to determine what they mean. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you stay tuned? I'm going to come down off this high horse now and go to station identification, and I want you to lock that dial in. I said lock it in. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. I know. I see you over there trying to turn that knob. Keep it right there because it's time to take you back to school. 646-478-0270. Call in with your comments. Omi is waiting for you. Stay tuned for station identification, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to play some Dirty Dozen right about now. Those Dirty Dozen on you to get some of you up and moving around. This show is about activity, being involved. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet as we get ready to do our libation. I like to pour a glass of water for my Father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. Then I wash my face. I can't go and greet the ancestors with a stale face, ladies and gentlemen. Stand to your feet if you're not standing already. We like to pour libations to the east, and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the west, Ashe. We pour libations to the north, and we say Ashe, Ashe. And we pour libations to the south, and we say Ashe. Did I say north last time? Then I say west this time, Ashe. If you are standing to your feet now, we want you to know one thing. In Christ, there is no east or west. In Christ, there is only love. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back right back in the atmosphere after the station identification.
Something too. No, take your shimmy, sister. Cause honey, this dog is feeling
fine. Atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to stand to your feet now that you've had your station identification. As I was saying, there is no east or west or north or south. There's one great fellowship of his love. As I found that out, I wanted to bring that to you. There is one great fellowship. In Christ there is no east or west. In him, no north or south, but one great fellowship of his love throughout the whole wide earth. Join hands, then, brothers and sisters of the race, whatever your religion, persuasion may be, then join my Father, God as one, then you are surely your kin to me. We've got to learn how to love one another. When will the world know we're all sisters and brothers? Ooh, we got something to change. We were made from love to love each other. In the name of love, we were meant to live together. It's time we took the time to take the time to love one another. See, we were made from love, just you and me. Love is going to change the world for the better. When will the world know we're all sisters and brothers? Ooh, we got something to change. We were made from love to love each other. In the name of love, we were meant to live together. It's time we took the time to love each other. See, we were made from love, just you and me. See, we were made from love, just you and me. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get on with our story. Now, that story that we're doing is Rick Rack Monkey. Now, this story, we're going to tell you what the objectives are. The objective is to learn about some aspect of the colonial education system, ladies and gentlemen, in the British Western Indies. And we want to recognize and understand the use of the satire, as we have been looking at earlier this week. We want to analyze word structure using the prefix, as I said earlier, and determining word meaning. How many of you are very clever with crossword puzzles and understanding word suffix and prefix? I'm not going to have you write in your journal. I want you to continue to write faithfully in your journal and to write poetry and narratives and stories. I'm going to be doing some comparisons of the philosophies of teaching, the two different ways. Now, I'm a teacher, and I'm intriguing you teachers out there to talk about the philosophies. What philosophies do you use, and which methods do you use? Are you more creative, hands-on, or are you more cognitive, and do you like to bond children to hardware and stay away from your desk, or do you like to engage them? We're going to be talking about that. Now, introducing the background information of this story. The textbook may recall certain scenes from Dickens' novels. That's right, Dickens' novel, that this chapter is called The Murdering the Innocent. That's where they pull this information out. Now, and Murdering the Innocent is in the, and another story they have called In the Hard Times. Dickens gave an unforgettable portrait of Thomas Gradgrind. He talks about how the story is laid out. Now, an educator can look at this and commit itself to understanding why they were looking at the Unitarian theory. Now, there's a Unitarian theory that they're talking about in education, which commits the commits them to a Unitarian theory of education. Now, this session is meant for the teachers. Children, this is not necessarily for you. I have a story for you later. However, teachers, I want you to be involved here. And there is a primary set of facts that he looks at in Using Imagination. And in his novel, he talks about this gentleman being a bully. Now, I want you to get the book and start reading it and try to look at what's happening in the story. Now, Sir talks about the children being submitted to his type of teaching. The children no longer care for his type of teaching. It's way over their head, it's boring, and they're not intrigued to learn. Now, all of this, mind you, is basically his opinion of his method. He thinks that it's the greatest method. The teachers were not really connected to what he was doing because he was coming from a different perspective. And that perspective was he had an ideal classroom that was supposed to be rendered through the British. Now, you may. I would like to also call your attention to some of the difference between the English ways of teaching and the American schools. For example, in England, the term public school generally refers to a private boarding school that prepares students for universities. And some of them called what they call the school is a little different from what we call schools. They have the children that will go and be tested. And then once they're tested, they will determine if they are college material. And if they go to college, they call it gymnasium. And the children who do not score high enough will go to the tech school, and they will learn to take up a two-year technician type of training. Now, in choosing, as we looked at this, we found that the grade levels were different, too. So they actually have a different program from America altogether. I want you to understand that England schools are not the same thing as American school. English schools, from the views of the film and television program that you'll see in your reading, you will see that it's different. You'll find out, you know, what you like about the schools and what you don't. One of the things I notice is that the children start at the age of 3 years old and going to kindergarten. And those children that go to the elementary school only go up into about 1:30, and then they go home to their after-school program. And there is no extension program, an after-school program right there in the school. Those teachers are government workers, so they go home. So it's a little different. So these children were finding that they were strictly functioning like the colonization and colonizing the schools. Now, in this story, teachers, I think you might find it's very intriguing to learn about what's going on in other countries. In this section, I want to introduce you to the satires as the literary element. You might wish to establish some of these satires. You may refer to a specific type of work, such as the essay teachers and the modest proposal by Jonathan Swift, or you may refer to the tone of the particular work or section of the work. In the textbooks, you may also have an opportunity to examine the satire, and I would like for you to do that. In the everyday usage, you will find that on page 543 if you're viewing this book and you would like to go get it. The pocketbook game there on 570 is available for you as well to read. We can't go into all of this. However, we will try to cover some of it. And High on the Hog, another story under 690, and the telephone conversation. Now, satires can be genuine, and it can be sometimes terrible. And the object of the middle satire is to laugh at some of the follies that are here. And James Thurber is a well-known satirist. He features himself as being a specialist who pokes fun at certain phrases. And the satirists such as Ben Johnson and Johnson Swift directly, and they're attacked as the abuse and corruption in the human nature and situation. And their aim is to chiefly correctively to expose weaknesses in order to show themselves out and in order to have them rooted out. They want to show weaknesses. That's one of the reasons why they're setting precedence on the satire. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this Rickety Rack story has some things in it that you might enjoy. Like, you can look at what the objective was for Sir to use the discipline for the students. Why did he whip the students? What was his objective? And what model did the children use to learn penmanship? There was a uniqueness in his penmanship. I want you to find that in the story. The students had to copy a sentence that was written across the top of the blackboard. Was that to help their penmanship? I want you to look over that. And Sir read to the class. What kind of stories did he read? And what I observed, he read tales of medieval knights to the children, which they weren't interested in at all. And how were the children prepared for Mr. Thomas' visit? There was a visit that was made by Mr. Thomas. What did Sir do? I saw that he was drilling the students, rope learning, and getting them to learn and memorize. Now, in interpreting the meaning of what's going on in this particular story, although other teachers were addressed by name, Sir was usually addressed by the name of Sir, only by his title. What conclusion could you give about them calling him Sir instead of, you know, his name? I got the conclusion that using the title can imply that either they respected him or feared him, because Sir was an arrogant man. You'll find out in this story he was very arrogant, and he insisted that the students refer to him by his title. How arrogant can he get? The students may also have feared him because he was so severe and authoritarian and caused them to be frightened of him. Now, I want you to go on into the story, and why did you suppose Sir talk about the things that the children did not understand? He wished to show off all the time and prove that he was superior to the students. The students didn't want this. They felt he was challenging them too much. And when he was judging them from judging each student and giving them a hard time. Now, when I looked at this, I saw him. I saw that he was he could be a master teacher possibly, and the students could learn from him if he wasn't so arrogant. All right. Now, what curious possession did he have? What was curious about him? Okay, what took place in the classroom? Now, if you look at the classroom, you'll see that he ran his classroom quite differently from an American. Now, teachers, I want you to get that story. Read that story. I didn't like it as much. It took me off course. I wasn't interested. I was about as interested as the children were with Sir's story. However, we have to read those stories. Now, I'd like to go on and read you something a little bit more exciting. And this is coming from the book, The African American Folk Tales for Young Children. Children, you can gather around now. This story is for you, Brother Lion and Brother Man. Here we go. Catch up and hold on. This story mixes the African lion and the American bear and the trickster rabbit, who may be the tongue-speaking people share sticker, because it's centered so on the animals hunt for man instead of on tricks. It is included here. The story probably came from the west coast of Africa and is told throughout the South and West in America. It is presented there as a retold story from folklore by Tyrone Wilkerson. And like I said, it was in the American Folk Tales book. Now, She-Lion does most of the hunting. But he lion thinks of himself as the king of the beasts. He thinks me and myself and I, that's all. That's the only king of beasts, me and myself and I. One day, old Master Lion woke up and looked around and started staring and roaring, me and myself and I, me and myself and I. All this roaring made the squirrels and the chipmunks and the other animals start looking for the next boat out of there. When we gonna leave? I can't take it no more. They didn't want to hang around and get eaten by the big mouth he lion. So they were going to catch the first bus out of there. The bragging and boasting and roaring went on for several days. And the animals couldn't understand what had gotten into the old he lion. He was stalking back and forth and parading around being king of the beasts, and the other animals were afraid to come out of their dens. We've got to do something about Master Lion, said the small animals. We can't go out and eat, and we can't send our children out either if we leave our dens and nests to eat. Master Lion will be eating us instead. The small animals were out in the back door of their den and nest to find the two animals they thought could solve the problem. First, they went for Brother Rabbit because he was the sneakiest animal of all and loved to play tricks on his neighbors. Then they went to Brother Bear, who had lived in the woods the longest and knew what was with all the animals who lived there. The small animals gathered around Brother Bear and Brother Rabbit, who were sitting on the stoop, drinking coffee, playing checkers, and cheating. Brother Chipmunk said, Brother Bear, Brother Rabbit, we got ourselves a problem. Well, said Brother Bear, what is it? Brother Squirrel said, it's old Mr. Lion. He's got just stalking all around in woods, and he said, me and myself and I, he's got all of us little guys scared to death. Brother Rabbit laughed. That's funny. That's really funny. Brother Bear said, hush up, Rabbit. These folks came to ask for your help, and here you are laughing at them. Brother Rabbit came to his senses, okay, and got quiet and let Brother Bear speak. Come on, Brother Bear, come on and speak. Come on, bring it on. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to go up to the hollow and visit old Master Lion and see if we can calm down this big cat so you all won't have to be scared all the time. Says Brother Rabbit, shaking his head. That's right. You can go. You can go see Mr. Lion if you want to put. You want to see him, but we ain't going anywhere. We can't go with you. I'm saying, but I can't go. But I'm staying here. The lion likes rabbit meat. That's why. Brother Bear got embarrassed at Brother Rabbit's scary cat attitude and said. He said, you are going with me, and I'll walk to, and I'll talk to Mr. Lion, or I'll sit right down on my head right now. Now, Brother Rabbit could imagine how he looked all mashed out flat with his long feet sticking out from under Brother Rabbit. So he right quickly agreed to go along. I'll go. The other animals thanked him. Thanks so much for going. And stayed by the checkerboard while Brother Bear and Brother Rabbit went up to the hollow, with Brother Rabbit spending considerable time right behind the wildest part of Brother Bear's back. When they found the old he-lion, he was sleeping under a tree, batting flies off his nose and his tail snoring. in a growling way, Brother Rabbit looked out from behind Brother Bear and said, "Well, wake him up." Brother Bear cleared his throat. Let me clear my throat with a grunt. Brother Lion, come on and wake up. Me and myself and I, he roared. He Lion roared again. He stood up. Me and myself and I. Brother Rabbit went from behind Brother Bear behind the nearest tree. I've got something to ask you, Brother Lion, said Brother Bear. Oh, He Lion stood blinking and linking and chopping, asking me. He said, I'm the king of the beasts. Why are you parading around here saying me, myself, and I? Don't you realize that you're not the biggest and baddest thing in the forest? Master Lion sniffled and squinted at Brother Bear. What do you mean? I'm not the biggest and baddest thing in the forest. I'm the king of the forest, I might add. Who's king? If I'm not king, then who am I? Man is, said Bear. Man? Who's man? Asked old He Lion. I've never seen man before. Sure enough, old He Lion had never seen a man before, because you see, man hadn't made it to that deep, into the deep part of the woods yet. Lion roared, show me, man. Come on and show me, man. I want to see man. Brother Rabbit moved 1 foot and moved to the tree farther away from Brother Lion, sort of a little slow and sliding away. All right, said Brother Bear. Come along, and we'll show you, man. We who? Snarled the lion. Who are you talking about? I don't see anybody but you. Brother Rabbit snorted. A wave one palm around the tree and said feebly, morning, Master Lion, sir. Brother Bear and the old He Lion walked past Brother Rabbit, and the lion gave him a sideways glance. Brother Rabbit grinned his biggest, finest grin and hopped in alongside Brother Bear, staying on the other side from old He Lion. They went along the path until they came near the edge of the woods. There in the path, they saw a young boy playing with sticks hitting a rock along the road. Now, old He Lion had never seen anyone walk on two legs before, and he groaned. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's got to be man. That's got to be him. That's got to be man. That's him. That's him. And he crept around the boy and came up behind him. Me and myself and I, he roared at the boy. Me and myself and I. The boy turned around and looked down to the old lion's throat as he roared. Mama! The boy hollered and ran away down the path. Oh, He Lion began to laugh. I guess I told him I'll be the jungle king around here. He laughed and laughed. I'm the king around. I'm the king, me and myself and I'm the king. I told you man was nothing. Look at him running, hollering for his mama. Brother Rabbit thought it was funny, too. He laughed. That's a good one, He Lion, he said. Me and myself and I, me and myself and I. You're all hushed up. Just hush up, snapped back Brother Rabbit. That wasn't man. That's going to be man, but that wasn't man. Come on, Brother Lion. We're going to show you man to prove yours. Who's king of the jungle? Sure enough, they went down the road a little further with the lion stuttering proudly, twitching his tail, and they saw a man walking with a cane. Oh, now, Now that's got to be man, said the old he-lion. He's bigger than the other one, and he's stockier. And he walked up behind him, and that old fellow, and he roared, me and myself and I. The old man turned around and saw the lion, and he whopped him alongside the head with his cane and ran down the road. Old he-lion shook his head once and laughed. I told you man was nothing. Look how he's running down the road. He laughed. Oh, he ain't nothing. He ain't nothing. Brother Rabbit, like that, too. He laughed and laughed with them. No, 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 said Brother Rabbit. No, 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 said Brother Bear. That wasn't man either. That used to be man, but that wasn't man. They walked down the road a little further. Now there was a fine young man out bird hunting with a shotgun. If Master Lion didn't know what man was, he sure didn't know what a shotgun was either. But Brother Rabbit and he laughed out loud. There's man, he said. He called out to the old he-lion, there is man. That's him. Go pull your stick on him. Go ahead. Go ahead, old he-lion. Ahem, said Brother Bear, clearing his throat. Let me clear my throat with a roar. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Brother Rabbit tried to hush up Brother Bear, but Master Lion was already creeping up on the young man. Me and myself and I, he roared. Me and myself and I. He roared at the top of his voice, me, myself, and I. The young man turned around and said, oh, big game today. He raised his shotgun and fired, boom. Master Lion shook himself once and stretched out his neck to roar again, me, myself, and I, boom. The old lion was starting to sting. He opened his mouth, me, boom. The young man had reloaded. Master Lion turned and ran. Brother Rabbit laughed and laughed. Ha-ha! Well, Master Lion, now you've met man. You've met man, and he's not what you think. As the three of them loped along back into the woods, the old he-lion snarled. I don't like Master Man. He's got a stick that smoke and sting. I don't like Master Man at all, Brother Bear said. I guess you'll calm down from now on, Brother Rabbit, with running to keep up and didn't have the breath to stay and to say anything at all, he roared. Then next morning, the old he-lion woke up and yawned. Oh! He looked all around to see that Brother Bear wasn't anywhere near. He stood up and stretched. Ah! He opened his big old mouth and said, me, myself, and man. The end. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to figure out who is the king of the jungle. Who do you think is the king of the jungle? Is it man or is it he-lion? I guess man must have showed him that he was not the king of the jungle after all. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get on the bus. We have a bus to catch. Get on the bus. Come on. Let's get ready to get up out of here. How'd you like that story? Get on the bus. Let's go get your bus. Yeah, go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you tomorrow. And I hope you like that story of Heli. He finally found out who man was. Now he knows man to be the man with the big stick that stings.